high schools, colleges, universities, Sunday schools, schools all over the world have times of graduation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Times of graduation. Why do we have times of graduation? We have times of graduation because that's the time that we have finished our training. We have finished learning or being aware or revealing to ourselves the information that's important for us to go out and accomplish what we want to accomplish. Now, many times we think that because we have our doctorate or we have our master's or because we have our bachelor's, because we have our specialty, we're smart. Well, far from it. Far from it. And many times all we are is smart in what we learned, and then we easily, quickly forget it. When people cheat on tests and use crib sheets and stuff like that to cheat on tests and read the answers off their hands and so on, when the test is over, and then you go out into life and you seek to apply what you learned in your school, and you had to cheat to remember what it was, or even have someone else do your test, do you think that these are some of the winners in the world? Are these type of people the people who go on to greatness? Not at all. The people who go on to greatness are the people who know how to build a foundation in their life. And education or training helps us build a foundation in our life to prepare us for whatever we want to do. Now, this may come as a shock to all of us, but it's a truth, a true experience, a true reality. You have no idea how many jobs you're going to have when you get out of college, get out of school, or go to work. You're not going to stay on the same job forever. You may stay a year or two or three. You may stay 10. Some people stay 50 years on a job, only because they have no inspiration to go off and do anything else. They have made themselves totally acceptable to the things that they have chosen to get out of the job at that level. Okay, now. But the majority of people who go to work have many different jobs. And they go to school, and they take the normal schooling, normal education, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they get the basic foundation. Now, if they are truly good students and learn well, reveal what they know that is within them, if they have teachers that excite them, and if they are excited about learning, they'll do very well in life. Now, they won't do very well in life because they're excellent students. They'll do very well in life because they have a good foundation in learning, in revealing that which is within them. They will know how to do it. No matter what task comes along, they will readily be able to handle it with ease and facility. Now, that's true. That's true. You don't know why you take algebra or geometry. You don't know why you take, like when I was in high school, and mostly high school, I took courses in poetry. And I liked writing poetry. And I wasn't a very good poet. I wrote very miserable poetry, but everybody thought it was very good. And I didn't really express what I wanted to express in the poetry, but I learned the fundamentals of poetry. I learned the foundation of poetry. So then, as my future life went on, I was able to write some significant poetry that fulfilled the need that I had for it in the textbooks that I wrote and other things that I wrote. And it was quite lovely. Now, Ernest Holmes is a philosopher, and he's a thinker, and he's a person who was writing about the science of mind and wrote very, very beautifully and in depth about it, and wrote many books about it, and all his books were really very excellent. the type of book that anyone could read, and if that was the direction they wanted to go, the guidance was very much there. But Ernest Holmes had a brother, and he and his brother, after Ernest sort of retired from writing books, he and his brother sat down and wrote a book. They both were ministers. His brother was a very adequate minister too. And they both sat down and together wrote this beautiful book of poetry about the spirit within man, the spirit that dwells within all of us. And that book is available, and it's a thick book, as thick as some of the Science of Mind, but it's really all poetry. But when you read it, you almost feel like you're reading the Revelations. You almost feel like you're reading some magical insight that they have had of the various things, because Ernest Holmes was very in tune with many beautiful things. But because he learned how to write well, and he learned how to be a good scholar and how to be a good metaphysician, when it came time for him to revel in his spiritual illumination, he had the tools to do it. In several of his lectures, he drifted off into his other dimension and spoke from that dimension to the people. And as he spoke in poetry, and he spoke in the most beautiful prose you could ever imagine. Now, in writing this book, he demonstrated, he and his brother both, what magic could come forth from the poetry. Now, I don't know that Ernest was a great aficionado of poetry, or whether he had studied poetry per se as an art in itself, but he certainly wrote it well. Now, the great poetry writers that you know are people who studied poetry and its technique of writing, but you could not study what they wrote, because they wrote from their hearts and they wrote from the very depth of their being. Well, now, this is what you do. This is what you're preparing yourself for as you graduate from one level of expression to another. You're preparing yourself to express yourself, and to express yourself in such a way that you like what you write. You know, really, if you write something pretty awful, you don't really like it. Many times you want to publish it just because you wrote it, just because you spent time on writing it, but that's the time to throw it away. You throw away all that stuff that is the introduction to priming the pump. We all have to learn how to prime the pump, how to get the flow going. And once we get the flow going, then we throw away the other stuff. Great musicians have done that, and they've thrown it away. Every musician wasn't a Mozart. Every musician wasn't a Bach, Beethoven, or any of these other great musicians who wrote so easily and so marvelously. Most musicians are revealing it, little by little, revealing it, step by step. And sometimes they have to throw away things that you and I would think of, wow, that's great stuff. And they threw it away because it wasn't them. Artists oftentimes throw away paintings that they feel doesn't demonstrate what they wanted to say. It's not that the painting was bad. The painting just did not say what they wanted it to say. So, school, education, training, however we achieve it, is a matter of helping us to reveal from within ourselves the genius that lays there. And if we don't reveal it, then what are we revealing? As people said to me so often, what philosophy do you teach? I said, I teach my own. Oh my goodness, don't you think you're good? No, that's the only philosophy I know, is what I am. That's the only philosophy I can teach, is what I am. I do a better job teaching my philosophy than teaching the philosophy of Plato, you know. I do a better job of teaching my philosophy than teaching the philosophy of some other great master. And you notice I said some other great master, you know. So notice those things and believe in those things, because you are great. You are wonderful. And the other people didn't know they were great until they wrote down their ideas and let it go. And how many of these great musicians and great painters and great artists of many sorts and many talents, how many of them in their lifetime were wealthy people? Very few. Many, but very few. The majority were expressing themselves. They were revealing themselves. They were opening up that inner area of themselves for its greatness. Mozart's work did not bring in a great deal of money in the beginning, but it helped pay the rent at home, and it helped take care of the details. And later, they became infinitely famous and infinitely great. But while they were living, using their art, selling it to the public, and hoping that it might bring home some bacon, they didn't always get it. They didn't always get it. So when you write, and you paint, and you sing, and you draw, and you speak, and you do anything, being yourself and having fun, you have your reward. And always remember, let that be your reward. And then anything that comes along after that, after you've released it, is all gravy. And a lot of gravy comes back. Because when you let go, and let the divine in you express itself with all the fundamentals and foundation that you have created for it, then you will find truly magic flowing from your pen, from your heart, from your life. And the world isn't necessarily blessed by what you've done. In fact, you're cursed many times. And you say, why is that? Well, because you're causing people to think about who they are and what they are, instead of just taking for granted everything as it is. When you look at an illusion, you take it as it is, or do you say the truth about it? The illusion is an ill body, and you say, I'm whole and perfect. The illusion is limitation, and you say, I am abundant. You see, we don't have to take the illusion as the end result. It's just the goad, the kick in the butt along the way that gets us going to our real reality and our real genius. So, remember, every kick you get in the butt is just that little push, that little shove, that little movement that says to you, go for it. You've got a lot more in you than you've ever dreamed about. And that's the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.